Father, I ask that in the name of Jesus, as we turn to your word, even though we are directing our attention to the Father's this day, that all of us realize that we have a part to play in the structure of the family, and that when fathers make mistakes, sometimes a little child can remind them or lead them or guide them at the right time. Maybe a comforting word from a wife can remind the husband, remind the father of their place and their plight. And I ask that you take the word this day, you anoint my lips, anoint the ears of the people so we can hear, so that we can do something about what you've said is to be in our homes. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was in high school, I failed a lot of courses, and I was so ashamed of my report cards. When I would bring them home, it was with fear and trembling because my father would look at it, and I don't remember all the different things that happened to me. Maybe that's why I limp today. I don't know what all happened to me. I know I was punished, and I know I was restricted, and I know a lot of things happened to me because I displeased my father. I didn't deliberately not please him, but because of where I was at that time, and I remember in civics, I failed civics, and I tried to study it. I couldn't get through to that civic course at all. And when I brought the F home, I don't know what my dad did, but I know I pained him because I did not do what I could have done. Today we pain the Father. You know, we don't give him the pleasure in ourselves, as he's spoken to us already today. I remember going to my algebra teacher one day, and I said, "Teacher," calling her by name, "I don't understand this algebra." And so I came in after school, and she was going to help me. And she wrote some figures up on the blackboard. And I remember telling her these words: "It's like I'm just standing there, and I can't get through the door. I don't understand it." And she went through it again. "Do you understand?" And I said, "No." When she asked me the third time, it was getting late. I knew she was getting tired, and I said, "Sure, I understand it now." I didn't understand it. Didn't understand it. And I was so ashamed of my report cards that I don't know why I even kept them, but I kept them in my top drawer, my dress, in my chest of drawers. And I decided that I would hide them from everybody's eyes. So I put them all together after I got my last one in high school, and I took some black tape. In those years, it wasn't the Scotch kind of tape. It was the black friction kind of a tape. And I taped it this way, and I taped it the other way. And I taped it so that if anybody ever looked, I would know they looked because they would cut it open. Why didn't I throw them away? I don't know. But I kept them there for some strange reason. They did get thrown away in subsequent years. But fathers, I want to talk to you today about some failures on our report cards. And there's some failures on our report cards. And as we turn to the Word of God this day, I want you to realize that this is what God says, and I am not standing up here as an authority. I'm putting myself in the pew too, and I'm listening to what God has to say this day to the fathers of our church. And not just the fathers of our church, but the grandfathers, and not only just within the church, but to the city, to the country. In fact, wherever the Word of God goes, it says very powerful words about the fathers. Now, when we hit some of these things this morning, and you are hitting an F, don't get too upset about it. Change it. You can change it by the power of God. God will give you the strength. And unlike my civics class, I just didn't understand that. Today, when I don't understand, when I get this F, and I get these Fs too today, I got Jesus' Spirit within me to help me pull through for my children, because the family is deteriorating. And the family can be no stronger than its weakest link. And it can be no stronger than the husband or the father of that family. Now, just to review for a moment, last Sunday we spoke about, and the family came tumbling down. The family is tumbling down in America today because we are permitting things to happen that are not scriptural. We have live-ins, we have all the type situations that are wrong according to the Word of God, and then we wonder why our home is falling down. And the family is just seeming, it's just coming apart. It's coming apart at the seams, where God says, "I want to put it together again by my Spirit." And it's only by God's Spirit that your home is going to stay together, because your home today is against all the assaults that Satan can hurl against it. When Satan sees a small weak spot, he will hurl that dart at you, and your home will get it, and it'll come tumbling down. If as fathers we want to avoid mistakes and failures, then we've got to know what to avoid. With the deterioration of America's character, it is weakened. Sins are no longer considered sins. Dishonesty is a sin according to the Bible. Yet we see so much fraud in places that are high, and by observing parents' actions, that it just seems commonplace. And so we say dishonesty must be okay. Yet this is a sin. This is a sin that's deteriorating the home, husband, wife, children, relationships. Children grow up, and 13-year-old Billy is really 12 years old, and in order to save a dollar, the mother says he's 12 years old when you go to the theater. And father's selling that car, and he knows his transmission problem there, but he says to everybody, this is a very good car. I'm having no difficulty with it at all. Consequently, 6-year-old Mary and 8-year-old Tommy will say, this seems to be okay. My parents are doing this. My mother is lying about my age. My father's lying about the car, so it must be okay. So children grow up in this kind of an atmosphere, and then parents sometimes wonder what the problem is. The first of the failures on some fathers' report cards is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. We'll give you time to turn to this book and this scripture. Ephesians 5, 22, and this is simply head of a family, failure. Men have relinquished the position of being head of the family to their wives. And mom runs the affairs of the home. The truth is that many wives would gladly turn over the affairs of their home to the husband if the husband would take that responsibility. So the first of some failures on father's report cards is the head of the home failure. Ephesians 5, 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And Ephesians 5, 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Some of the failures on father's report card simply is that the father is not the head of the family. And there are many reasons for this. The father is so busy, so active, and doing so many things, we'll just let the home run by itself. Well, the home doesn't run by itself. So there's a mother there to take care of that home. But the wives today, many that I've spoken to, say, I'm tired of rearing the children alone. I am tired of making all these important decisions alone. I want my husband, a woman told me 2 weeks ago, to take an active interest in my home. He comes home, he's tired, it's understandable, he eats, he watches TV, he goes to bed. He wakes up, it's the very same thing. It's the routine over and over and over again. And she said, I just want him to take an active interest in my home. A lady called me yesterday on the discouraged line. I don't know where she is, I don't know who she is. And she said, my home's falling apart. My husband is not taking the role as he should as the father. And my home is falling apart. I don't know what to do. She cried and she talked to me 20 minutes on the tape. Now, the scripture says in Ephesians 5:22 that the wife is supposed to submit to the husband. Now, a wife who does not know how to submit to the Lord cannot submit to the husband. And we'll touch upon this later in this series of the family festival, but we'll just pass on in saying right now that in Ephesians 5:25, where it says that the husband should love his wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Fathers, we must give ourselves to our children. We must give ourselves to the home. We must give ourselves to the wife. But the overbearing husband who puts himself ahead of his wife, ahead of his children, has little love for either. This is a selfish, it is a self-centered type of a person who's got no right to be head of the home. only when a man is willing to be last, only when a man is willing to put the family interest ahead of his own, is he qualified to be the head of that family. And one of the failures on father's report cards is that he's just not the head of the family. The God in heaven has ordained it to be the husband, the wife, and the children. The second thing is found in Titus chapter 2, verse 7. Would you turn to that, please? Titus, 1 and 2 Timothy, and then comes Titus, chapter 2, verse 7. Spiritual example, failure, To teach one thing and to go out and do another thing is to show hypocrisy to the children. To spank for cursing and then go out and curse is a double standard. And children pick this up. They're very sensitive. In fact, they're much smarter than we parents give them credit for being. Now, in Titus 2, 7, it says, in all things, show yourself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Paul says, in all things you show yourself to be a pattern. So if my children are going to pattern after me, then I've got to be watching what I do. Father sat down at a cafe, and the children were sitting around him, and the father said, I'll take this drink. And then the waitress turned to the little boy and said, what do you want? And the little boy said, I'll take the same thing that daddy takes. And it just pierced the father's heart. And for the first time in his life, he realized what he was doing. He was not, as Titus says, setting the pattern. His pattern was his own selfishness. And he realized, hey, I don't want my son to do this. I don't want my son to do this. So Titus' writings say we are to show ourselves as a pattern. Some people never think of alcoholic beverages and tobacco, realizing these are examples to their children. Yes, some of them do. But there are other damaging habits that a father has who sets the pattern. Let me just give a simple example. Fathers, do you throw your clothes all over the house? Or do you pick them up every night? You put them in the dirty clothes basket? Or does your wife do it? Now you say, what's that got to do with setting an example, checking out the spiritual example? Simply this. You are the pattern. You are the pattern. And when children see your socks everywhere, they'll say, well, that's where my socks ought to be too, so I'll throw them around. And the pattern is not set. Fathers who fail to teach manners and respect for the rights of others may find his children rebelling against authority. He will find his children rebelling against authority at school, at home, at church, even playing the games. And so when the school calls up and says, hey, Mr. So-and-so, Johnny has done this, and in defiance he has spoken this way to the teacher, the father says, well, not my son, not my son. Well, it can be somebody else's, but not my son. So we as fathers have got to realize that we have got to be the pattern in the spiritual things at home, which sets standards for authority. And when fathers speak towards certain authority figures in the city, then the children pick it up too, and they say, well, that's the way it is. Same thing with a father who fails to set up regular family Bible reading and prayer. He is saying to his children, well, this isn't important at all. And the children say, my father does what he knows is important. So if my father does not take the time to read the Word of God, then it must not be very, very important. And yet the Word of God says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 20, and when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what means the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you, you will say to them that the Lord showed himself great and brought us out of the land. And then scripture in Deuteronomy also says in chapter 21, verse 19, something that fathers need to do more often. Deuteronomy 21, verse 19. That's not it. But the scripture in Deuteronomy says, you are to put upon the doorpost of your home the testimonies. In other words, you're supposed to put scripture up so the kids can see it. You're supposed to be able to, as it also says in another place, when you tuck your children into bed, teach them, tell them about God. Tell them about God so they won't be rebellious. Well, that scripture in Deuteronomy 21:19 is not a very good scripture to read, but I'll read it. It says, the father shall lay, and his mother shall lay hold upon the son and bring him out unto the elders of the gate, unto the gates of his place. And they shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. Therefore, punishment must be met out to him. Well, rebellion in the home starts with the pattern that's set by the family's father. So how do we set ourselves up in the spiritual example, fathers? Failure, or are we doing pretty good, or are we not doing anything at all? Turn to Proverbs 19:18. I'd like to lead you through a couple of verses here. The third failure on some of the father's report cards is disciplining the children. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. It says, chasten your son while there's hope. And let not your soul spare for his crying. How many fathers have disciplined their children once and the child screamed like it was dying, and so the father stops right there? Well, the scripture right here says, chasten your son while there's hope, and don't spare your soul for his crying. While we're in Proverbs, go back to 13, verse 24. Proverbs 13, 24. He that spareth his rod does what to his son? Hates his son. Father said, I don't punish my children by spanking them because that's child abuse. No, that's not child abuse. That's biblical teaching. And it doesn't say restrict them, which I do and which you fathers do too, but it says chasing them with a rod. And a rod, as one man said, the board of education, when it is applied to a certain spot on the body at the right force, can do a whole lot when the children know the sincerity and the love of the parent as well as the necessity of being disciplined. It says, he that spares his rod hates his son. So that, well, that father who told me, I don't spank my children, well, then the Bible says you must hate your son. What does God say about this? Whom he loves, he chastens. Whom he loves, he spanks. Now, if God can do it, who is the perfect father, how much should we as fathers likewise? He that loveth him chastens him many times. So the discipline of the children, this is love, this is concern for the child's integrity, this is concern for the child's character, and parents never disagree when you're meeting out punishment. If you disagree with one another, don't disagree in front of the children. Do it privately. And if you have wronged your child by disciplining in anger, confess this. If you have wronged your child by disciplining in error, then you apologize. I have gone to my children. I put my arms around them and I have said, I was wrong. I didn't have all the facts. To counteract punishment, some parents look for ways to compliment their children to help build their confidence. So disciplining the children is a failure on some father's report cards. And when father's not home, then it should be done by mother. And it also should be done as quickly as possible. In fact, Ecclesiastes says that people today have less respect, paraphrasing it, for the law and will do things wrong because there is no speedy justice. The courts today backlog. A criminal has been apprehended because of something he has done wrong. His case may not come before the proper authorities for weeks and even months. And the scripture says that's why we have problems in the world today, Ecclesiastes, because there's no speedy confrontation with wrong and with sin. When the father's out, the mother's in charge. There is the sun, there is the moon, and there are the stars in the heavens and in your home as well. And the father is that sun, and the moon is you, the mother, and you kids are stars. We'll be talking about you in a few Sundays too. Be somebody now. You are somebody now. Now, the moon does not give off the light by itself, but it is a reflection of the sun. Therefore, the woman who is the moon must be very careful to reflect what the husband is. And yet she can do nothing but reflect. So the father, the husband, has got to be very careful that he is emitting the right kind of light that will be reflected by the mother. So when the father is at home, he does the discipline. When he's not at home, he delegates it to his wife, so that as quickly as possible, the child can be punished. Okay, we got the head of the home, we got spiritual examples, we got discipline the children. The fourth is this: demonstration of love, -failure, -? I turn to John 13:35, and familiar words: by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one toward another. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And yet I have known fathers who love other people more than they love their own children. And they show express their love to other people more than they show to their own children. Fathers, never be embarrassed to let your children see you hugging your wife. There have been children who have grown up and they never saw mother kissing father, father kissing mother. They just never saw this. They never saw them holding hands. They never saw any demonstration of love at all. And so they learn by example. Then they don't show much love when they grow up unless something happens to them by the Spirit of God. The demonstration of love is a failure on some father's report cards. And the bumper tag is right on when it says, have you hugged your child today? Have you hugged your child today? With very few exceptions, have I ever forgotten this. Every single day of every single year, I touch every single child of my family who's there. I make it a point to touch them. They need that physical contact, to touch them in some way. They may not be in the mood for it at the time. They may, you know, get back and get away from it. But most of the time, you know, they want that touch. It's a demonstration of your love. And it's a failure on some father's report cards. The last failure is this. It's in Matthew 6:33. Turn to it, would you? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And it's setting priorities. Again, that's the caption. Setting priorities, -failure, -? The scripture reads, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We fathers sometimes set wrong priorities, and we fail. And you can't cover it up with black tape because it's too late. The children see that we have failed in setting priorities. We can't expect the wife, we can't expect the children to do what the Word of God says if we are not doing it and if we are not setting the proper priorities. If we seek first the almighty dollar or the TV or some hobby, for example, if we seek this first, then the children see that the Lord's not that important. The Lord must come first, and then all else in its place. But we got community pressures, Pastor. Oh, yes, we do. We got community pressures hitting the home, clubs, organizations, everybody vying for the time of our children. And we could be out every night of the week, including Wednesday nights. And on Sunday mornings, we could be at Valley Heritage Day. We could be all, you see, the world is pulling us, and if there is a raveling on the seam of your family, showing, Satan's going to grab it and pull. And we know what happens sometimes when you pull a raveling. You may just, it may let the materials be separated. Family becomes separated. You see, we allow these ravelings to be seen and to show, and Satan's looking for them. And when he sees them, he's going to start pulling. Therefore, we pick up the armor that we've got. He doesn't say scissors, but some of that armor is used that way. It just cuts it right away, and our family's put back together. But we've got to set our priorities with the community pressure as it is. Fathers have got to sit down with their children, with their wife, and they've got to plan out, work out a system. And the father, you fathers,